How many of you belong to Facebook? How many of you have asked me to be your friend in Facebook? How many of you didn't get a response? The same number of people. I tried it. Pastor Kerry told me, and I tried it. But first of all, it was a little time consuming. I found myself checking it to find out whether or not Carrie was out doing laundry. And I realized that I really didn't care. But I needed to know. And people were telling me everything they were doing. I'm on my way here, I'm going there, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, ah! And all my kids, our grown daughters, are on it. And I saw some stuff that mothers shouldn't see. Then I got requests from people that I hardly know. I started feeling guilty. So I closed it down. And I got yelled at by a couple of my ya-ya girlfriends who said, well, if you were on Facebook, you would know that I was blah, blah, blah. It's like, just call me. Send me an email. I still use email. It's not old. It's not an old technology. It's still there. So anyway, but I get it. Because I did catch up with a few cousins who I hadn't talked to in years, and I have 27 cousins. And they're all married, and they all have children, and so I got to find out a lot of things about where they were around the country. There was a part of it that was very cool. So I understand it as a social networking. I think it has connected people in ways that are just profound. People have told me they found old friends from high school and elementary school. So it's not that I don't appreciate it. I want to tell you I do. But I'm such an extroverted person that something that runs 24/7, I would become an addict of fairly quickly. But there's so much new going on. I mean, there are new technologies. There's new everything. There's new ways in which people are understanding themselves in these social networks and in these groups. Even in the church right now, I've heard from people that the word disciple is really troubling. It's not that they don't like it. It feels like an old word, younger people tell me. And they also tell me they don't completely understand what it means and that they prefer other words like servant or seeker or pilgrim. So, you know, this whole networking of people is beginning to change who we are and how we see things. The church has been a place where people have been able to come together and social network, a way to be connected, but it isn't always working, is it? It doesn't work as well as it used to for that. But the other thing that I realized is that even in the midst of the decline of the church itself, there's an increase in people's awareness and desire to want to help, to be involved. The church isn't the only way. There are so many ways. There's all kinds of things that we do now to find ways to serve. And it feels like, in a way, that helping others and being connected in these groups is making a comeback, which is a really good thing. It's a good thing for the church, it's a good thing for the country, and it's certainly a good thing for the whole world. The text today talks about social networking, but it comes from the end of the book of Matthew, chapter 25. For those of you who know Matthew, this is where Matthew gets a little difficult. Is that a good word, Pastor Kerry? Difficult. This is right before Jesus is going off to his death, and some of the texts in the end of Matthew are very difficult to read. But I'm going to read you one. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is Jesus' form of Facebooking. Jesus' way of talking about what social networking looked like. And at the end of Jesus' life, in all of the Gospels, he seems to get very clear that the taking care of one another part was really linked to the salvation of the whole world. In all of the Gospels, he talks about that. Now, unfortunately, over the years, the church has lost some of that organization that is centrally mission-oriented. So we have mission. We have a missions committee. But I'm guessing that what Jesus was saying is that the church is the missions committee. The United Methodist tradition, which was founded by John Wesley, was based almost entirely in the idea of social networking, of reaching out to others, to the least of these. And so to be a United Methodist is to have social networking in your DNA. A few years ago, the United Methodist Church started the campaign Open Hearts, Open Minds, Open Doors. We actually had someone come to church one Sunday because it was on the board out there and they thought that was the name of the sermon. To think, open hearts, open minds, open doors. And the church has met many of the challenges that come with that slogan. And there have been places where we have failed of not fulfilling that slogan. But as the church works through the process of becoming a welcoming denomination, the church, the United Methodist Church, has decided on a continuation or an evolution of that Open Hearts, Open Minds, Open Doors campaign. And it's called Rethink Church. Some of you may have even seen the ads on TV. It is a campaign, a way of life for us to think about everything we do in church and to rethink what church is. To rethink everything we've ever known about church. And more importantly, to change the word church and other words in our language of faith from nouns to verbs. What if open doors, open minds, open hearts, that wasn't an adjective, the word open, but a verb, to open your mind, to open your heart, to open a door. It seems that that would be the evolution of the promise that we made with that slogan when we start thinking about church in a new way. What if the word church were a verb and not a noun? What if it was something we do and not a place we go? What if the church was less about Sunday and more about the other days of the week? What if church was a menu of adventures, an active verb? What if it wasn't a building, but 1,000 doors, 10,000 doors, each of them opening to a different concept or experience of church? So that whoever knocks might find a journey that was right for them. What if church was the way it was in the beginning? The early church was not quite as organized as we are. It was unbounded. It was outbounded. completely outbounded. To go into the world was the command. It was very different. There were no committees. The church was in mission to the world. What if the church looked at itself with servants' eyes or seekers' eyes? What if we realized that the very smallest step for someone to enter our doors was a giant step, because they may be feeling vulnerable, because they may not understand church, they may have had a bad experience of church? What if we knew that entering our doors was a real act of faith? What if the church understood that solving the secular problems of the world could lead to spiritual interaction? There are social interactions all over the place now for us. What if this place provided a social interaction for those people who may not even want to worship? What if we thought of church as a way for people to do what they needed to do, to serve in the way they needed to serve, to have passions? What if we had no expectation that they had to think or be or even worship the way we did? What if we were a door to helping to transform the world? What if we took seriously that in this skeptical world we live in, that actions really do speak louder than words? You know, we hear all the time the phrase, "What would Jesus do?" What I find interesting is it's not what would Jesus say or what would Jesus think. It's what would Jesus do. It's about the verb. It's about church as a verb. It's about open as a verb. It's about faith as a verb. When I went to ILF, I had a professor say the original use of the word faith was a verb. It meant to faith, not a verb, something that you got, and a noun, something you got and held on to. It was something that you experienced and did, to have faith. So the gospel reading today tells us that Jesus was all about mission. He was all about doing. We could think of the Bible as some of Jesus' Facebook postings. And all his postings tell us that he was always rethinking church, or I should say, rethinking synagogue. He was rethinking discipleship. He was rethinking servanthood. He was constantly challenging people about what it meant to belong to a community of faith. He wasn't as much about doctrine as he was about action. Do any of you know, and Pastor Kerry, you don't count. Do any of you know what the mission statement is of the United Methodist Church? Our actual mission statement? That's my fault. I should tell it to you more often. To make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Two really good verbs, making and transforming. For the transformation of the world. That sounds very global, communal, less private, doesn't it? It sounds like we have agreed to reach out and do everything to help transform the world. This Rethink campaign is to begin conversations within our churches and outside our churches. The target age is 18 to 34. It is for everyone, but the target age is for this is 18 to 34. For those who might not be familiar with the language of the church but want a way to serve, those that might have had a very unsatisfactory experience with the church and might be taking another look, and those who are feeling vulnerable but yearn to be part of a changing community. You know, Jesus fell into this age group Those of us who are older like to think he was older. Tops, maybe, lived to 33. So he falls into our demographic that we're trying to appeal to. Open hearts, open minds, open doors, too open. What I did read when I was looking at the websites is that they want to make sure that we realize as churches that it is not a campaign that comes in a box where you just add water. It won't just fix anything. But what it is story after story after story of the ways that the church is serving in the world. It is a resource for us to prayerfully discern how we can rethink this church and be in mission to the world and to turn every day into an adventure, a holy adventure, and to turn a building into a way of life. The questions they ask are, what if church was a literacy program? What if church was advocacy for those who have no voice? What if church was feeding the hungry or helping a pregnant teen? All the stories are about doing, about reaching out, just like the early church, unbound, outbound, a true social network. Now, I know from talking to many of you that that's one of the reasons that you're back in church, is because to serve is important to you. And we have a lot of new people. So the question is, how can we all help? If we offer opportunities, will you be there? Will you come to us with your ideas and your passions? Will you lead others into an active life of servanthood? Or will you join in when someone says, I care about this? Lord, when did we feed you? When did we clothe you? When did we visit you in prison? And Jesus says, well, every time you did anything for the least of these, the members of my family, which brothers and sisters is every person in the world. I think you should keep on Facebooking and YouTubing, although I fear someday I will show up there. Are you ready to post your ideas here? Can you think of this place as the new social network in which you can post your ideas and your passions and to tell the world what you are doing? Are you ready to open a door? Are you ready to open 10,000 doors into a new way of serving Christ in the world? It is a huge challenge. But when you do things together, we all know that many hands make light work. I'd like for all of you to take an opportunity to look at the websites. UMC.org will show you Rethink Church. You will hear much of what I said on the website and in the videos. And there's another website called 10,000doors.org where you can see all the ways in which we can offer church to others and to, so we can rethink church and make church a verb. It is a challenge. But if we answer Christ's call to go into the world, I can tell you what, brothers and sisters, that will make my heart all a Twitter. Couldn't resist it. Amen.